Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. This is another email from Anonymous.
Hello, Ben and Nathan. This is a really hard email to send. I'm reaching out because I need brutal, honest advice. I'm currently 28 and have been on the path to law school for a while. I have a horrible GPA from undergrad that is below 2.5. After, I decided to pursue a certificate in paralegal studies and a second bachelor's degree in public administration. I don't know if I follow that completely, but I currently have an almost 3.0 GPA with my second bachelor's degree in public administration. My second bachelor's degree included previous classes from my first bachelor's degree. If not, my second GPA would be higher because I only earn straight A's. Nevertheless, when I uploaded my transcripts to LSAC, I have a 2.27 GPA and a 2.19 cumulative GPA. Okay. I guess the 2.27 is referring to the second. I'm confused as to which one is which. Two GPAs here. But in any case, I already have close to $50,000 in loan debt, and I don't want to waste more time and money. I don't have any hope of being accepted to most law schools with that GPA. I did my best to correct my first GPA, but no matter what I have done, I don't think it matters. As for the LSAT, I'm struggling with this to even get to a 150. I just want to know if this path is even worth still pursuing. If not, I will move on and just work as a paralegal and be grateful for the ride while it lasted. Any advice?
Yeah, give up. Don't do it.
Your GPA is low.
You're like a super low GPA by itself isn't going to keep you out. I got into law school with a low GPA and a very high LSAT. But you've got super low GPA and you're really struggling on the LSAT. I never struggled on the LSAT. Also, I hated and should not have gone to law school even with my high LSAT. I don't think it's a good path for people, especially not if you're struggling. You've already got $50,000 in debt. I feel like the best case for you is looking like, well, shit, I don't know. Counter argument, get a 160, get a full ride to some regional law school. I suppose it's possible.
Some of that may depend on how much you enjoy your paralegal work. Do you really enjoy this kind of work, which is sort of a precursor to what you might be doing as an attorney? Then maybe it's worth pursuing until you get that high LSAT score. And if you can't get it, then give up. Because the last thing you want to do is go to law school and pay anything more than you have to.
Yeah, don't pay for law school no matter what. I mean, like, just that's hard and fast rule for everybody, especially here for Anonymous.
Yep.
Do not pay. It's not going to be worth it for you. Do not pay for law school. If you can get yourself, go to LSATdemon.com/scholarships and play with various LSAT scores. Your GPA is so low that it almost doesn't matter how low it is. It's just like your GPA is a zero. And put in the LSAC calculated GPA. Don't worry about the second bachelor's thing. The LSAC is going to calculate that for you. But put in higher LSAT scores and see if you can find a school that you would be willing to go to that would give you a full ride. And if not, then just give up immediately.
Yep.
Just stop barking up the wrong tree. If you can, you know, if it's, oh, wait, I didn't realize that Southwestern Law School is right here in my, you know, I can commute easily to Southwestern, and with a 160, they would give me a full scholarship, and, you know, or Golden Gate in San Francisco, or any number of regional schools across the country. Maybe a 160 would do it for you. And then maybe still consider it. But if you can't get to that LSAT that's going to give you a full ride, then just definitely give up. You're only 28. I mean, you got 70 years ahead of you.
Yep.
Hey, can we solve for once and for all? I'm irritated that I'm not sure we really know for sure. You've already graduated from undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
if you go back and start working on a second bachelor's, do those classes count for your LSAC GPA? Well, Ben's going to Google it right now.
Yep, I'm on this page.
No, grades excluded from conversion. All courses taken after the degree conferral date of the first bachelor's degree, including graduate work and professional study. This also includes any graduate courses taken after the first bachelor's degree was awarded. Somebody was arguing with us on YouTube about this. Fucking people. No. Once you have graduated from undergrad, if a degree was granted, that's on your transcript, classes that you take after that date do not get converted into your LSAC GPA. Am I right? I mean, that says it
right
there.
That's what it says. All courses taken after the degree was conferred.
Okay.
The degree conferral date. Yep.
The LSAC website could be wrong, but it's probably not. If it's wrong, then we need to like talk to them about it and see if we can get that corrected. But that's been my understanding for years, and that's what I keep saying. We get emails, Ben, from people who are like, well, my GPA was so low, so I decided to fix it by going back and getting another bachelor's degree, or I decided to go back and take additional classes. And it's like, sorry, but that doesn't work. So that seems like what Anonymous foolishly did here. You know, I mean, I don't... So that second bachelor is like, because that's what Anonymous's email indicates, right? Is like, I'm confused. Like, I've gotten higher grades in the second bachelor's, but my LSAC GPA is still super low. Yeah, that's because it doesn't count.
That's a bummer. Because really, it sounds like you're going to school for the sole purpose of improving your GPA, which at least for law school has no benefit.
That seems like a dumb rule, by the way. Why wouldn't it count?
I imagine they're doing it for consistency.
I guess, but like, what, like fairness? Why? Nothing's fair. I mean, like, what? Why? that doesn't rationally seem to make much sense. Like, if you're so serious about law school that you're willing to go take additional credit courses to boost your GPA, doesn't that indicate that you're like a better candidate for law school? In my book, it would. I mean, I
think they're solely doing it to compare apples to apples. They want to make it as they're like, look, here was your shot at undergrad, and this is the grades that you got out of it.
But then what that means is they have to use your, you know, it, like, what if you're 32 applying to law school and your bachelor's was, you graduated when you were 21 and you also had classes that you took in high school at the local community college that you didn't even go to, that you got a D in.
Yeah.
And now that's what counts. Instead of at age 32, you went back and got a bachelor's in something you actually wanted to do and you did well in it. Mm-hmm. You know, this person, Anonymous, went back and got another bachelor's in public administration, which is aligned with what law schools do.
Yeah. So make the cutoff just bachelor's, period. I can understand excluding master's programs because they seem inflated and just
different. Yeah, those are vanity degrees that are not like you're paying money for good grades. And I guess you could make the same argument about going back and doing additional credit courses, right? Like I could go back to school right now. Like I go back and take a bachelor's class in what's a class that I would totally smash, like without even trying at all, like just a, like some rudimentary math class at the local community college.
Yeah.
Again, I would just do it in my sleep. I would get 100% on every exam and I could do that to boost my GPA. But so it'd be like, oh, well, you have resources, so you're able to do this. So you're able to buy your way to a higher GPA. And maybe that's why they don't want people doing it.
I mean, but if you bring in resources, that's true for anyone.
Exactly. It ain't fair. There's the resources second you start that bringing that in. Yeah.
Some people have it and that's why they're at Stanford and some people didn't, which is why they're just lucky to have gotten into Arizona or whatever.
No, you cannot make things fair as far as that's concerned.
I mean, you're still going to only end up with the average, right? So,
yeah, no, it's not like the old grades don't count anymore.
No,
you can still punish people for mistakes they made when they were a kid. Yep. If that's what you really want to do. I mean, I don't know why we would do that, but
Well, I don't know if it's so much about punishment. It's just in an effort to predict future success, right?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. In my mind, someone who's savvy enough to take additional courses, that seems like a pretty good predictor that you understand, like, oh, I've figured out the game. Like, I didn't used to know the game when I used to get bad grades, but now I've figured out the game and now I get good grades. That seems like a predictor of success to me. Like, Ben, yeah. Honestly, how hard is law school? If you like know how to play the game, how hard actually is it?
If you know how to attend classes and pay attention and get good, like, grades,
ultimately game it, right? Like, yeah. Go get the old practice exams, go to every class, go to your teacher's office hours, do the assignments, mm-hmm. take notes, study with people, like, work hard, try hard. I don't know, man. It's not like you fail your classes if you just, like, because you don't have enough talent. That's not a thing. You fail your classes. I mean, if you fail in law school, Jesus, or if you get C's in law school, that's because you don't give a fuck. That's because you're not trying. Mm-hmm. Anything else before we wrap it up for Anonymous?
Bottom line is, yeah, any degree, any classes you get after you graduate from undergrad, even if you go back to undergrad, do not count, do not matter.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for immediately telling you to give up, Anonymous. I'm not trying to, I don't ever encourage anybody to go down the law school path. You know, like, I think you should find things that you should look for doors that are kind of open to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if doors are like, seem like they're closed, you know, like, maybe knock a couple times, try the handle. You could put a little bit of shoulder into it and see if it budges. But like, at this point, you've already been struggling to get to 150 on the LSAT. I would say, man, if you can't crack that nut pretty quickly, then it's just probably not the right path for you.
Well, this is why our rule, don't pay for law school, is actually so good. It puts a barrier in front of the door, right? It says, don't go through this door unless you can go through it in a certain way. That's a win-win, because if you do go through it, then the price drops dramatically, which means the risk associated with the decision drops dramatically. And even if it turns out to be a bad choice, well, you've severely minimized the risk or the fallout from that. But if you can't overcome that presumption, if you can't go for free, then you shouldn't go. And now you've also avoided the fallout of that decision. So it protects you.
I went to LSATdemon.com/scholarships here. With a 2.19 and a 150, you're not going to get a full ride anywhere. With a 2.19 and a 160, there are a couple full rides on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Western Michigan, that's Cooley. Southern University Law Center, I don't know where that is. Golden Gate University, it's in a nice part of San Francisco, south of Market.
Wait, I only see two. What'd you put in, 160 and 2.19?
2.19, URM is checked, sorry.
Hmm.
I didn't catch that. Sorry. Yeah, okay. So I don't know if this person is URM or not, but if you are, you've got a couple more options. If you're not URM, Golden Gate. It's in San Francisco. Full tuition scholarship, $52,000 a year. Not guaranteed or anything, but, you know, Golden Gate is struggling for people who have the talent to pass the California bar exam. And with a 160, you've got a much better chance of passing the California bar exam. And so, you know, like, it's not, the ship has not entirely sailed if you can get to 160. But if you can't, then I don't think should ever go. Thank you very much for writing in. Email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.